This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
With CudaSign, paperless e-signing is a no-brainer for any business that requires legally binding signatures fast. That's because CudaSign offers everything you should expect from an electronic signature solution for just $1 per month. CudaSign cuts document turnaround time as much as 90%, thanks in part to its number one rated mobile app. And CudaSign's secure cloud stores documents for on-demand tracking and retrieval. Get CudaSign now for just $1 per month. Go to CudaSign.com. That's CudaSign.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The long day of Benghazi testimony. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, October 23rd. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Democratic presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton spent the day testifying about the deadly terror attacks in Libya that happened during her term as Secretary of State. Here are some testy exchanges.
An American soldier has been killed during a raid to rescue prisoners held by ISIS terrorists in Iraq. Is the U.S. now using boots on the ground?
A deadly shooting at Tennessee State University in Nashville. Hear what authorities believe led to it.
And the Republican presidential rivals to Trump and Carson are waiting for them to fade. But will they?
I think it probably would take people deciding that they're not willing to go that far afield, that they would pick Donald Trump, a guy who's not really necessarily a proven conservative, or Ben Carson, somebody who has proven to say somewhat controversial things and whose background doesn't suggest that he's necessarily prepared to be president.
Wall Street Journal writer Jerry Seib on Cruz and others waiting for the momentum to stop for Trump and Carson. He's here in about 25 minutes. What's going on at Tennessee State? Police say one person was killed and two others were wounded by gunfire on the Nashville campus last night. Nashville PD say the shootings, which occurred just before 11 o'clock local time, appeared to have stemmed from a dispute over a dice game in an outdoor courtyard between two males not enrolled at the school. Tanya Stone is operations supervisor for the Metro Nashville Emergency Communications Center.
We had a call with three people shot at TSU's main campus. The call came in at 10:54 p.m. our time. They transported three people with gunshot wounds to Vanderbilt Hospital.
Police say the person killed was not a student. It was unclear if a suspect was in custody. Meanwhile, the area is still buzzing from an incident last week when three people were shot and wounded during a large house party near the Tennessee State University campus. To Washington now, a day-long grilling by the House Select Committee on Benghazi for former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton about the 2012 terrorist attack in Libya that led to the deaths of four Americans, including Ambassador Chris Stevens. The Democratic presidential frontrunner was in the hot seat for nearly 11 hours yesterday. House Republicans asserted the State Department knew immediately that the Benghazi attack was linked to a terrorist group and said there were 600 requests for additional security at the Benghazi compound. Mrs. Clinton said most of those messages did not rise to her level. This was an exchange between Mrs. Clinton and Illinois Congressman Peter Roskam about threats before the attacks.
You created an environment, Madam Secretary, where the cables couldn't get through. Now,
well, that is inaccurate. Cables, as we have testified, and as
they didn't get through to you, they didn't break into your inner circle. That was your testimony earlier. You can't have it both ways.
Republicans, meanwhile, released a new email from Mrs. Clinton to her daughter Chelsea on the night of the attacks. In it, Mrs. Clinton told Chelsea that the attacks were undertaken by a quote Al-Qaeda-like group. Critics say that's different from the official statement put out earlier by the State Department, in which Mrs. Clinton made reference to an anti-Islam video that sparked violent protests elsewhere in the region. What's being said about the hearing? The New York Times editorial today says if there was any notion that the Select Committee on Benghazi might be onto something, it was quickly dispelled. They produced no damning evidence, elicited no confessions, and did not succeed in getting an angry reaction from Mrs. Clinton. The Wall Street Journal editorial writer Kim Strassel says, don't forget how we came to this point. Mrs. Clinton complained in her testimony on Capitol Hill that past Congresses had never made the overseas deaths of U.S. officials a partisan issue. Ms. Strassel writes, that's because those past deaths had never inspired an administration to concoct a wild excuse for their occurrence in an apparent attempt to avoid blame for a terror attack in a presidential re-election year. Meanwhile, Ron Fournier at National Journal asks, is she a liar or a stateswoman? For the vast majority of Americans who long ago answered that question in their own minds, Hillary Rodham Clinton's testimony on Benghazi changed nothing. He says Republicans won't vote for the former Secretary of State and Democrats won't hold Benghazi against her. President Obama has vetoed legislation authorizing $612 billion in military spending over the next year. Playing politics, he highlighted the growing tensions over the annual National Defense Authorization Act. He did so by making a rare public show of his veto by rejecting the legislation in front of TV cameras.
We have repeatedly put forward a series of reforms, eliminating programs that the Pentagon does not want. Congress keeps on stuffing them back in, and we end up wasting money.
He said the bill fails to resolve spending caps known as sequestration, doesn't include military reforms, and impedes his ability to close the military prison in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Critics of the move include Texas Congressman Mac Thornberry, chair of the House Armed Services Committee.
There is no adjustment we can make here to increase funding for EPA or IRS that would satisfy the president. So we cannot fix what he is complaining about in this bill.
Senator Angus King of Maine, an independent who caucuses with Democrats, also criticized Mr. Obama's move, saying the legislation is important for helping guide the U.S. defense policy. GOP leaders, meanwhile, plan to hold votes to override Mr. Obama's veto, though it was not clear if they have the votes to do so. 12 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing.
Hey, thanks for being with us, and a good Friday morning to you. Paul Ryan, the Wisconsin congressman who was at first unwilling to run for the job of House Speaker, has now officially declared his bid for the office. Mr. Ryan, the one-time Republican vice presidential candidate, says Republicans were ready to move forward as a unified team. In a letter to colleagues late yesterday, Mr. Ryan put aside his earlier hesitation to give up his dream job of chairing the Ways and Means Committee and said he was, quote, ready and eager to be our speaker. How did he win over, though, enough conservatives in the House Freedom Caucus? Here's Lauren French, congressional reporter for Politico. She joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. Lauren, what have you found?
Paul Ryan had always said that if he was running for speaker, he was going to do it with the full backing of the Republican conference, and that really was directed at the Freedom Caucus. So he met with them on Wednesday for a private meeting where he laid out his vision of what he would do as speaker. That includes some changes to how the steering committee, some changes to how committee chairmen are empowered. And that really did win them over toward his candidacy as a speaker. And they met then privately afterwards to ensure that there was enough support for him to make it that he would jump into the speaker's race. This whole process was Ryan wanted the endorsement before he said, substantially, significantly, I'm in the race and I will be running.
Is the House Freedom Caucus's approach now, well, Paul Ryan is the best we'll get, so let's offer him at least some sort of support?
I think that there's other people that the Freedom Caucus would rather have had. They endorsed originally Daniel Webster, former Speaker of the Florida Legislature, but they knew that Paul Ryan was the likely choice to get it. And they also were very acutely aware that the rest of the House Republicans would blame them, would put the blame on this Freedom Caucus if Ryan didn't run, because they were the only ones holding out their support. So not everyone endorsed Ryan, and in fact, the Freedom Caucus isn't endorsing him, but they have a supermajority, about two-thirds of their members, who are going to support him. And that really was enough for Ryan to see that he had the backing of these conservatives, and at least for the time being, they are supportive of what he wants to do.
What is it that the House Freedom Caucus might not like about Paul Ryan, but they're going forward, but yet holding their noses?
He wants to change the procedure called motion to vacate, which is the ability for members to really oust the speaker. They don't love the changes he's putting forward, and there's a lot of reports out there that they're going to really aggressively push that no changes being made to that. There's also policy issues. Paul Ryan, for the most part, is a very, very conservative member, but more moderate than a lot of these Freedom Caucusers are. So there's going to be some policy disagreements, and it's not as if just with Paul Ryan coming in and being Speaker, if there would be a totally new environment in the House. There's still going to be the number problems that Speaker John Boehner ran into, where these conservatives don't necessarily support a lot of what the rest of the Republican Party supports, and therefore Ryan could have to turn to Democrats the way that Speaker Boehner did.
Okay. We're speaking with Lauren French, congressional reporter at Politico, and her piece is called How Ryan Conquered the Freedom Caucus. You made an interesting point in the story. You said he didn't engage in the exhaustive campaigning that's usually required of a bid for leadership. No whipping or trying to pick off a vote here or there. How did he do that?
He said at the very beginning, when he announced on Tuesday that he would not be running for Speaker, or not serve as Speaker unless he had the full backing of the Republican caucus, he wasn't going to be campaigning. Paul Ryan, sources close to Paul Ryan's world said that he would only do it if there was a lot of support and a groundswell of support, because he doesn't want to be Speaker. This was never on Paul Ryan's life goal, career goal. He wants to have bigger aspirations outside of Congress, and so he never really felt as if he needed to do that campaigning, because he felt as if he was putting on hold his career, that the Republican caucus should want him. And if they wanted him, everyone had to want him.
Thanks, Lauren. Lauren French, congressional reporter for Politico. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
And Hurricane Patricia has rapidly developed into a potentially catastrophic storm that could sweep waves of almost 40 feet onto Mexico's Pacific coast today. Eric Blake is with the National Hurricane Center.
Patricia has intensified into a Category 5 hurricane. Maximum sustained winds are 160 miles per hour with higher gusts.
The Mexican government has declared a state of emergency, warning residents to prepare for the worst-case scenario as Patricia threatens to race ashore around 7 p.m. tonight with a potential to be the most powerful Pacific hurricane on record. A U.S. service member was killed during a rare joint mission by U.S. Special Forces and Kurdish fighters to free prisoners of Islamic State in Iraq, the first American combat death in the country in 4 years. Peter Cook is the Pentagon's press secretary.
This was in the national security interest of the United States, because this is part of the larger effort against ISIL and to support those coalition members, those partners who are in the fight with us.
The U.S. forces were meant to play a supporting role in the early morning raid, but when the Kurdish fighters got pinned down by heavy ISIS fire, the U.S. forces jumped in to provide covering fire, resulting in the Americans' death. One person was killed and two others were wounded by gunfire on the campus of Tennessee State University in Nashville late last night. The shootings appeared to have stemmed from a dispute over a dice game in an outdoor courtyard. The nation's largest auto safety recall could become even bigger. Auto safety regulators say they're expanding their investigation of airbags manufactured by Japan-based Takata. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says it's investigating yet another airbag inflator that's primarily used in side airbags. And the halftime show for Super Bowl 50 may be epic. There were already reports that Bruno Mars would be featured. Now comes word that Maroon 5 and Adele might participate. At this point, the inclusion of Maroon 5 and Adele are just rumors. But with Adele's new album coming out next month, the timing may be right for the global stage.
Wow. I saw something about Adele's long-awaited album coming out.
Yes, it's
really
coming out.
By who?
Come on.
No.
You don't like Adele?
I mean, long-awaited album?
It's been years. People have been waiting for her to come back.
Is that because she doesn't have any good stuff? I mean, what takes so long?
It's the creative process.
I'm teasing you. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us.
on this Friday. We can continue smiling as we pull up to the gas pump. AAA says more refineries are working at full capacity, coupled with plenty of supply on the domestic market. And that means we continue to pay far less for gas. But for how much longer? More from AAA spokesman Avery Ash. Avery, what's the expectation?
Our expectation is that prices will continue to move lower toward the end of the year. You tend to see that after the busy summer driving season comes to an end. This is a period where we do see some refinery maintenance, so that's refineries going down for maintenance prior to the end of the year. What that means is that we do see some lower production levels, but that couples with lower demand at this time of year. So prices do continue to move lower. And our expectation is that we could even see a national average below $2 per gallon before Christmas this year.
Wow. And that means that, boy, some of those that are under $2 right now, well, it could really be low if it's bringing down the average that
much.
Yeah,
you know, we've got seven states right now that are already seeing an average price below $2 per gallon.
Yeah.
We've got two more that are within a nickel of that. And as we saw earlier this year, it's many of the same states that when we look back to January and February of this year had seen prices dip below $2 per gallon then. You know, the national average actually earlier this year, as many will remember, got within just a couple of pennies of breaking that magic $2 per gallon mark.
Right. So where are we seeing the lowest prices right now?
Lowest prices right now are in South Carolina, where the average gas price is $1.93 per gallon.
Wow. And the California West Coast still seeing the most?
Yep, California and the West Coast, as they so often do, are seeing the highest prices. California is actually second in the nation at $2.87 behind Hawaii, $2.90 per gallon. But no state in the country as of right now has an average price that's above $3 per gallon.
We're speaking with Avery Ash, spokesman at AAA, and we're talking about gasoline prices. How about projecting out to, say, Thanksgiving, when a lot of us will hit the road?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're looking at a national average now, as I mentioned, that's at $2.24 per gallon. I think there's a reasonable expectation that we could see prices fall, maybe another dime or so. Obviously, all of that's predicated on the fact that we wouldn't be seeing an increase in crude oil prices, or we wouldn't be seeing unexpected refinery issues, which can, as we know, lead to higher prices in affected regions if there is an unplanned outage.
Right. All right. So on a somewhat related note then, I guess, what could send things sharply higher?
It's kind of some of the same factors we've seen in the past. Geopolitical tensions overseas have the potential to send global crude oil prices higher, and that can ultimately mean higher prices at the pump for American drivers. From a U.S. standpoint, if we see refineries across the country having unexpected issues with units that produce gasoline, we can see production in those regions decrease, and that can mean temporary spikes in prices. That said, we also have some factors that could see prices move lower and could help to influence lower prices by Thanksgiving and Christmas. Those could include Iranian crude oil coming back online following the lifting of sanctions in the next several months.
Thanks, Avery. AAA spokesman Avery Ash. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave. From a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack, when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 4000 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 4000.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It's Friday, October 23. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. 11 hours of Benghazi testimony. Paul Ryan will run for speaker. Boots on the ground or not, American killed during a raid in Iraq. Classes canceled at Tennessee State after a deadly shooting. Hurricane Patricia
could bring 40-foot waves to Mexico. Are you kidding? Sharp rise for stocks thanks to encouraging earning news from the likes of McDonald's and Amazon. A win tonight and the Royals are in the World Series. And how you can be a neighbor of the vice president. That story in about 20 minutes. The Republican presidential candidates not named Trump and Carson are waiting for the shine to dull on the two leaders in the polls. But will businessman Donald Trump and retired surgeon Ben Carson fade as we get closer to voters casting primary ballots? That's the hope for the likes of Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib is here to explore. Jerry, what's the Cruz thinking here?
Well, first of all, he doesn't have much choice except to assume that they will fade, and he's made a calculated decision not to attack them because he doesn't want to alienate their supporters because ultimately he hopes they begin to move his way. So what would it take? Well, I think it probably would take people deciding that they're not willing to go that far afield, that they would pick Donald Trump, a guy who's not really necessarily a proven conservative, or Ben Carson, somebody who has proven to say somewhat controversial things and whose background doesn't suggest that he's necessarily prepared to be president, and that when you get closer to voting, people who still want to find somebody who represents an outsider choice but also want to move towards somebody who seems at least a little more likely to get the nomination and maybe win will move toward Ted Cruz. The other advantage that he's got is that he does have support among one significant group in the Republican electorate where Donald Trump doesn't have much support, and that's among evangelical voters. So that advantage may assert itself eventually as well.
All right. When will we get a sense, you think, Jerry, that the Trump supporters, those who've put him in the lead in the polls, will actually cast a ballot for him? Because there's some concern, right, that his supporters, however you may profile them, do not go to the polls?
Well, that is one of the great mysteries of the year, and we won't know until people actually have to vote. But there's a kind of an assumption in the other campaigns that a lot of people who tell pollsters, particularly national pollsters, when they call up and say, who are you for, they are saying Donald Trump, and those people either really, A, won't stick to that position, and B, aren't really the kind of people who are reliable Republican voters who will bother to show up in a primary election. So are these real Republican primary voters or not? That's one of the great unanswered questions, and nobody knows for sure.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib. His piece is called Ted Cruz, among others, are waiting for a Trump-Carson fade at the top of the polls. Does that mean that Senator Cruz, for example, is dismissing Senator Marco Rubio, who now is getting a double-digit support himself behind Trump and Carson?
In that sense, I think it's not just Ted Cruz who's in the position he's in of waiting for some kind of a fade. I mean, Marco Rubio, as you mentioned. But I think there's kind of an insurgent group in this campaign on the Republican side, and that those are the people who are the true outsiders who are proud of the fact they don't belong to the establishment club. And Ted Cruz fits in that group along with, I would say, at least Donald Trump and Ben Carson and probably Carly Fiorina as well. And then there's the rest who are a little more conventional and a little more experienced in more establishment figures, and that obviously includes Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio and Chris Christie and John Kasich, the governor of Ohio. And so you kind of have two groups, and Ted Cruz is very clearly in the insurgent group, unlike some of the other more established political figures who, while they also hold office now, are kind of more in the establishment group.
Does history tell us anything about folks like Donald Trump who've led since, what, mid to late June when he declared, 4 months now? Does history say that there will be a falling out?
Well, I think the history is mixed on that. You know, he's led for longer than people would have thought, on the one hand. On the other hand, there is a kind of a tendency to move toward more allegedly electable and more conventional figures as the actual voting gets closer. There is a kind of a history of people returning to the kind of more conventional choices and to behaving the way people thought when it goes from basically kind of window shopping to actually buying. But, you know, the caveat there is that everything about this political cycle seems to be different from conventional wisdom so far. And, you know, maybe it just won't be true anymore. We'll find out.
Thanks, Jerry. Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib. 21 minutes before the hour on This Morning. Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. First, going to the post office takes up valuable time, and leasing a postage meter is expensive with multi-year commitments and hidden fees. Luckily, there's a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. Even get special postage discounts you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. You can save at least 50% compared to a postage meter, and you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal. Good Friday morning. Welcome aboard. It's time now for our weekly look at the subjects we've been searching for the most online. We're joined now live by Google Trends expert Nina Tyler. Morning, Nina. Joe Biden at the top of the list.
Yes, Joe Biden at the top. Good morning, Gordon. On Wednesday, as you know, Joe Biden, he ended months and months of speculation. People wondering, is he going to run for president? Well, he gathered with press in the White House Rose Garden to announce that he will not be running for president in 2016. So a lot of people disappointed. But some of the top cities that we saw searching for Vice President Joe Biden, surprisingly, all of the top three were in Maryland. Hyattsville, Princeton, and Fort Meade, Maryland, all really? Searching for Vice President Joe Biden.
That's interesting. Not his home state of Delaware. I guess I would have picked that, or maybe Washington, D.C. I don't know. That's strange.
Exactly. Delaware did round out the top five. We saw Wilmington, Delaware, you know, searching for the vice president, but the top three were all in Maryland.
How about that? Wow, that big sigh of relief, by the way, coming from Hillary Clinton's camp. Why were we searching for unemployment of all months or all years? Why is unemployment being searched for?
Exactly. Unemployment, it was a trending topic this week because the number of Americans filing new applications for unemployment benefits rose less than expected, keeping the 4-week average at its lowest point since 1973. So the Department of Labor, they said that the number of people applying for benefits went up last week, but overall the 4-week average of applications fell. So people searching for unemployment, wanting to know more, wanting to know where the rates stand, and getting that information on Google.
Love talking 4-week average about unemployment. Don't you?
Of course. We can talk about it again in 4 more weeks.
All right. Why was Oprah being searched?
Well, Oprah announced that not only is she a big Weight Watchers fan and member, but she likes the company's weight loss program so much that she's decided to buy a 10% stake, which sent the company's stock prices soaring this week. And this is really a turn for Weight Watchers. For more than 3 years, the stock of Weight Watchers has been heading south. So they're hoping that Oprah's vote of confidence can really turn it around for them.
Man, I didn't get that call from Oprah ahead of time to buy that stock, did you?
I didn't, but I wish I had.
I'm not in that inner circle. We're speaking live this morning with Google Trends expert Nina Tyler about what we've been searching for the most online. All right, so what else made the list?
Zooey Deschanel, she's the star of the show New Girl. She delighted animal lovers everywhere by giving her infant daughter a middle name that might surprise you. She named her daughter Elsie Otter. Otter is the middle name. And to celebrate the Monterey Bay Aquarium, which rescues otters unable to survive in the wild, they tweeted an invitation to Zooey to bring her daughter to meet her spirit animal. So a lot of people searching for Zooey Deschanel and wanting to know, wait, what did she name her daughter?
Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. Otter? Really?
Otter. Yes.
Otter.
And she said that, you know, they liked the name Elsie, and she and her husband, they both love otters. They're sweet animals, and they're smart animals. So that was kind of the inspiration behind the middle name.
That's fine. You know what? Put up posters in your house or pictures. A middle name? All right.
I take it you're not a fan of the name, Gordon.
You know, it's just Hollywood. They just live a different life. Different life. Let me play this clip, by the way, from the Star Wars The Force Awakens trailer.
Nothing will stand in our way. I will finish what you started.
I'm not big on this either, Nina, but I know it was popular.
Oh my gosh, it was so popular that this Star Wars trailer has more than 40 million views in just 3 days. Jeez. It's the latest trailer for the sequel directed by J.J. Abrams, and it was trending on YouTube this week as Star Wars fans, they really tuned in to find out more about the movie, you know, more about the premiere date in December, and just really getting excited about the new release.
Very good. Hey, thanks for a few minutes as always. Appreciate it. Google Trends expert Nina Tyler with us live this morning. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. 8 minutes now before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, at least 42 people, mostly elderly tourists starting off on a day trip, were killed today when a bus and truck collided on a country road in Wine Country in southwest France. French President François Hollande, on a visit to Greece, says the government is totally mobilized to help after what he called a terrible accident. Mexican authorities have seized about 12 tons of marijuana in an elaborate tunnel with a rail car system that extended well into San Diego and was designed to smuggle drugs into the U.S. from Tijuana. U.S. Attorney Laura Duffy.
The tunnel itself is located in the United States on this side of the border on Otay Drive, and it comes out on the Mexican side of the border in Tijuana. We believe the tunnel is approximately 800 yards long.
The discovery marks one of the longest and more sophisticated clandestine tunnels found on the U.S.-Mexico border. Hillary Clinton battled questions for hours from Republicans in a hearing that grew contentious but revealed little new about the 2012 attacks in Benghazi, Libya, as she defended her record while seeking to avoid any mishap that might damage her 2016 presidential campaign. Republican Troy Gowdy again denied that the hearings were political.
There are people, frankly, in both parties who have suggested that this investigation is about you. Let me assure you, it is not.
It was the 8th congressional investigation into the attacks. An audit by Homeland Security found that two Secret Service officers were napping on post in August. One of the officers was working at the White House. The other was assigned to a protective detail with the Israeli embassy. Scheduling and inadequate staffing were cited as leading to fatigue among officers. And seems that young people are paying attention to forecasts about where the jobs of the future will be. A survey by the Association of American Medical Colleges finds that more people than ever want to be doctors. Enrollment is up 25% this year over 2002, with more blacks and Hispanics applying and being accepted. 20,630 students are now enrolled in 144 medical schools.
I think word got out that we were short.
Yes.
Of folks here, right? Is that
desperately
that seems to be the case?
Desperately need doctors
and nurses too.
And we're going to get so old, we're going to definitely need them.
What's the number, right? 10,000 people a day retiring or something along those lines, right? We need them. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing. Hey, want to be neighbors with the Vice President of the United States? A 5-bedroom, 8-bathroom mansion along Embassy Row in northwest Washington, D.C. is on the market. The nearly 100-year-old Mediterranean-style villa at 3400 Massachusetts Ave is bank-owned and apparently priced to move. Once with a price tag of $4.5 million, it's now going for $3.5 million. The Vice President's home at No. 1 Observatory Circle is a bit bigger and sits on a larger chunk of prime real estate called the U.S. Naval Observatory. WUSA-TV in Washington says, don't worry, current residents say the VP isn't much of a bother. In fact, Vice President Joe Biden has never even asked to borrow a cup of sugar. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Hey, thanks for listening. If you love our show, we'd love it if you took a few minutes to give us a review on iTunes. And while you're at it, make sure you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the handle @ThisMorningShow.